I'm just worried this is going to be sort of boring. There's so much work stuff to wade through. So much of my daily life is emailing people about, like, bullshit. I guess right. That's everybody.
Yeah. Are you only living a work life?
Man, that's the question.
Wow. I guess that's the question. I didn't mean for that to be quite as sobering. Intense as it was.
No, I mean, I just don't think, I don't know. I just feel like there are people that have very interesting email accounts, and I don't know that I'm one of them.
Can I ask you a question?
I was going to say, is that the exact quote that people say right before you fucking blow them up and
no.
you find the craziest shit?
No, usually they have some anxiety, and this manifestation of your anxiety is somewhat concerning.
And I noticed he's stalling signing in. He's on a borrowed laptop.
Okay, no, I just...
Wow, that's a long password. That's a long... Whoa.
Wait a second.
And
it's wrong. Long and wrong.
Long and wrong, baby. That's my whole thing.
It was. You were only halfway through.
It's a sentence.
You said it's a long
I'll tell you right now. It's a sentence.
Well, that's evident from the number of...
It's actually not a...
Oh, boy. It's not a password. He's over two, folks.
I'll tell you right now. It's not. It's not working.
This is... I've never had to sign in with people looking over my shoulder. So
just
here's the
verifying.
Thing. Here's the thing. I was always one of those people who was like, nobody's going to hack my shit. I don't have anything to look at. And then somebody hacked my shit. And so now I have very long passwords. And it's such a pain in the ass to type them every time.
Can I ask what
happened?
What happened when you got hacked? Yeah, what, like?
Nothing. Literally nothing. It was that I think people got those emails that were, like, clearly spam. It was, like, a bit.ly link that, like, everybody in my address book got. But I don't keep my addresses on Google, so it was only, like, 15 people. But then all those people, they were like, you got hacked, bro. So I was like, I changed everything.
So it wasn't like you were hacked and then leveraged or something?
No. I mean, not yet. Somebody's playing a long game.
Long game.
Yep. Which, I mean, sheesh, might be the case. Also, guys, I have to apologize. There's something wrong with my iCloud syncing, and it says that I have unread messages, but I don't. I am a person who... I feel like you're... Okay, so there are three types of people in the world, I think.
I can't wait.
I'm about to make a proclamation I've never thought about or said.
Those are the best kind.
There are people who, like my wife, who have thousands of unread messages, and I literally cannot wrap my head around... Like, just read it or delete it. There's a second type of person like me who never has unread messages, but whose inbox is literally tens of thousands of messages.
Right.
And then there's a third type of person who I literally can't understand. Is this you, Nicole?
Sitting to your right, yes.
Zero emails. Completely empty inbox. They have folders for everything. If you've read it, you archive it or you put it away, and it's empty all
the time. I rarely ever hit zero, but I would say it's... If it's not under 10, I'm panicking.
That's shocking.
And the reason why I rarely hit zero is because there's an email from myself to myself reminding me to make a go bag.
Oh, no. And you haven't done it yet?
Nope.
You got to get that.
I mean, wow. If one of your 10 emails for the last how long?
Months.
Has been to make a go bag.
Yeah.
And you have not done it.
Yeah. I'm not going to do
it. What? That's one that's like, finish the bunker. Hey, don't forget, finish the bunker. And then you're like, I just haven't gotten around to it. But I am angry and scared.
I have my electronic shit together, not my real shit.
So anyway, I apologize for my 39 unread messages. I assure you I have read them.
Right.
But I blame iCloud.
Because you are the baby bear.
I'm the middle one. Yep. No, I'm the, I mean, I guess.
Right, because Papa Bear's too...
Yeah.
No, wait.
I'm the mama bear.
No, mama bear's too soft. Papa bear's too hard. Baby bear's just in the middle.
Oh, I guess that's
right?
True.
Right? Isn't that it?
I don't know. I thought baby bear was too soft. Papa bear was too hard. Mama bear was in the middle.
I don't think that that's true, but I think it makes you a feminist.
Wait, this has to do with the chair. Wasn't there also oatmeal involved in that story?
Yeah. Oh, no. Too hot.
Porridge.
Too cold.
I mean, if you want to be.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
I think baby bear's just right.
Sure.
And that's why Goldilocks keeps taking his stuff.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. It's a metaphor for how we gender binary our generation, but maybe the future generation will be freed from it.
Oh, great. So, yeah, no, I wear this misunderstanding of the story as a feminist badge of honor.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Welcome to Inbox, the show where we gain access to our guests' digital correspondents and mine their personal lives for Comedy Gold. I am Matt Straub.
And I am Nicole Dressbell. And our guest this week is a performer, director, and you already know and love him from Mission to Zix. It's Alden Ford.
Hello.
Hello, Alden.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. You're cleaning up your email as we talk.
I'm not going to delete them. I'm just going to mark them as read because it's very important to me.
Oh, I see.
I mean, no, these are just the ones that it says are unread.
No, those are read.
I mean, are they?
Yeah, no, it says they're important.
Oh,
that
shit.
The yellow flag means important. Did you not?
I don't know. I don't usually use this.
No, the yellow flag means that Google
I'm gonna
has identified
click it. The unread. Oh, these are the ones that are unread.
Yeah, the bold ones.
See, I'm not great with the interface. I use my phone, and maybe this makes me an insane person. I use Apple's Mail app.
I do too, and I fucking love it.
I love it. It's great. What's wrong with that?
I think all the other apps are too hard, and
you
I hate
do,
them.
Nicole?
Yeah.
I could swear on now. Listeners, we'll have to go back to the archives. I could swear on a previous episode you said you think that's insane to use the Mail app. Have you come around recently?
I've only ever used the Mail app.
Oh, man. I have to comb through like 20 plus episodes to try to find this now.
It's probably the Lex episode because that's the last time we talked about email apps.
I'm back to zero, guys. Zero
God
on
bless.
Red. Zero on
congratulations.
Red. Do you actually feel different now than you did a second ago? Do you feel like better?
It's just annoying. It's
that number.
I think the other thing is it's especially, you know, the number is like, I would say 10% annoying. The other 90% is the fact that I fucking read those.
Yes,
I already read them.
You did
stop
the work.
Stop saying I have shit to do. I have enough work in my life without a robot telling me I haven't done the work that I'm supposed to. Also, like, what's it to you, robot?
Mm-hmm. Offline, you told me, Alden, that you don't have a laptop. You're on a borrowed laptop right now. Are you a desktop guy?
Well, here's the thing. I do a lot of video editing, and so it's sort of one of like the two or three day jobs that I do when I'm not performing or directing. And so I can't really do that on a laptop.
So the answer is?
So I do own a laptop, but it's like it's a MacBook Air, and I don't use it for anything except when I like – if I like go on vacation, I have to check my email on something. I'll do that.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, Jeremy Bent was on the show, also from Mission to Zix. And I believe he is a desktop
guy,
right?
He's all desktop.
So I didn't know if it was a trend worth noting.
It's
a Zix.
So weird.
It's sort of a Zix thing. It's sort of like a weird cult that we've joined. No, it's just I have had laptops before, and I've found that I have to replace them more often in order for them to do what I do for
that's
work.
True.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But what is your home like?
Just in general.
Oh,
man.
Like where,
deep
like,
dive.
Like, where is your computer in relation to, like, hanging out in front of the couch watching something with the spouse?
Well, currently, my last apartment, I had, like, a little office. It was, like, a bedroom that a real estate agent would call it a bedroom, but it was straight up not a bedroom.
Right.
It was a tiny little office. And so my computer was in there. It was nice so that, like, it was actually the first place, one of the first places I've lived where, like, I could be working and my wife could be watching TV, and it was like we weren't in each other's way at all.
Right.
And then now we've moved into a place that's also a two bedroom, but it's a little bit more like a traditional, like the second bedroom is actually a bedroom.
A traditional in each other's hair situation.
Yeah. So my computer's back in the living room, which is fine. I have headphones and stuff, but it's but yeah. So it's we have the TV, the couch, and then the computer is at a desk.
But if you're home watching Netflix, it's Netflix watching time with the spouse.
Yes.
Wife. I don't know why I'm.
Spouse
ungendering.
No, that's good. I prefer it,
I guess.
Honestly.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. You're fully engaged. You don't have a laptop on your lap distracting you.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm on my phone a lot.
Okay.
But
that
feels
huge to me.
I so rarely watch TV that when I do, I really, it's because I've made a decision to not do anything else.
Wow.
I will say I am also a staunch believer in not having a TV in my bedroom. Do you have a TV in your bedroom?
No.
Matt.
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
And have you found that it has affected your life in a negative way?
I don't think so. I can't really picture.
It sounded super judgmental when I said
it. No,
but
not
I didn't
at all,
mean it that
I've
way.
Heard it, I've heard it a million times, like you're not supposed to do that.
Well, I will. Oh, go ahead.
I've done it, and it seems fine.
I'll tell you this. I dated a girl once, and we had a TV in the bedroom. And she would watch, like, Law & Order SVU, like, three episodes in a row before we went to bed, and like we never had sex, and I was like, that's because we just watched an hour and a half or 2 hours of like sex,
very satisfying
sex crimes.
Television
sex crimes, and I'm like, it's very good television, but doesn't really get you in the mood. And I was like, Benson and Stabler really ruined my relationship.
That's crazy. Matt, we're gonna be in so much trouble.
We are,
because we're so deep into the episode, because we're loving this conversation.
Yep.
So we have not yet played.
I've really distracted. Oh, the theme song.
Email roulette.
Oh, email.
Email roulette.
Hey, Alden.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Do you have a person you don't want to email?
Man.
No names, just enough so Matt and I can roll with this.
Okay. I mean, yes, there is one person.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel a little bit uncomfortable because it's like a serious thing, but I
seriously
also am like, it's the kind of thing where we had an email exchange and I was like, I can't talk to this guy again. So last summer I hired a personal trainer because
great.
I was like, I have a little bit of extra time. I have a little bit of extra money. There was no gym in my neighborhood because I live way out in the middle of Brooklyn.
Can I just pause? I don't mean to interrupt you. I am very intrigued about how this is going to get serious.
Starting
from I hired a personal trainer to this got serious.
Me too.
I'm hooked. I'm in.
Great. So the very short version is that I hired this dude. He really knows what he's doing. He's a very good personal trainer. He is a straight up alt-right bro. Like straight up, and made it very clear very early on in our relationship that he was going to use, whether I liked it or not, a large portion of our sessions to devoted to trying to convince me that I was an idiot for being progressive, and that it was totally cool to quote Milo Yiannopoulos and stuff like that.
So he identifies as alt, right? It's not just like, oh,
he does not. I don't think that is the phrase he would use because it's sort of like,
it's a
you
pejorative.
Also, nobody says that they're a racist.
Right, even if
they are and are totally fine with being racist.
Yes.
But the point is that at a certain point, after a few months, I had to email him and I was like, hey, man, I'm canceling the rest of my sessions. I started paying you because I wanted to feel better about myself. And in fact, the opposite is true. Like, I feel worse after our sessions because you dominate every session with an hour of just throwing super insane conspiracy theories and problematic
Alden,
things at me. Yeah.
How did you go to more than one session?
How many did we do?
I mean, two or three months worth.
Oh, wow.
And it was here's the thing. It was the kind of thing where I'm like, is it a moral imperative to try to go toe to toe with this dude? Here's this other white guy. I'm a straight white guy. This is a straight white guy. Is it easier for me? He's not obviously listening to anybody he's trolling on Twitter. He's not listening to anybody who's calling him out on Facebook. He needs someone to be like, hey man, the things you're saying are wrong and they're hurtful. And let's talk about this in a way where we're not friends. We have nothing to lose. Nothing's at stake. I'm just going to try to lay out my case here. And I think the thing was, for a while I was like, it doesn't matter. I can deal with it. I can handle whatever he's throwing at me.
And
after a while,
I
was just like, this sucks. I don't like this relationship.
Alden. We're going toe-to-toe with him.
Yeah, a little bit. But the thing was that I was like, I have three choices. Either I push back, in which case I am I'm distracting myself from what we're ostensibly there to do.
Yeah.
And it just wastes time. Secondly, I don't say anything, which is implicit agreement, makes
me
feel bad. And third, I agree, which of course I'm not going to do, but it would be the path of least resistance, right? So I laid that out and I was like, look, I tried all of those things. At a certain point, you're like, yeah, man, I get it. Totally. It's crazy. And you try to kind of brush it off. And after a while, you're like, I have to call you out for that because the thing you said was absolutely insane. On the train. The train in here, I was like, I mean, here's really the only guy I have a real bad relationship with right now.
Absolutely.
But shit, man, I'll write this email.
Did he respond when you were like, we're breaking up?
Well, here's what's funny is that yes. And he was like very terse. He was like, fine, man, sorry you weren't happy with the sessions. And then 2 months later, he emailed me and he was like, hey man, I really feel bad about how things ended. I still owe you a couple of sessions. So if you want to come in, I've got a good plan for you. We can get back going. And I emailed him back and I was like, no man, sorry. Keep the money. I'd rather give you the money than see you again. Cause I don't this isn't working for me. Cause nothing you've said has given me any indication you've thought about the world outside of your own. I made this really, really serious. I apologize.
This is perfect.
So anyway, what do you think is the funnest email to write this dude?
Mm-hmm. Okay, open a compose box.
Oh my God, this is terrifying. Okay, I really cannot wait to hear what you guys think I should say to him.
Okay, subject line, expanding perspectives.
Oh, good, very nice.
When was the last time you guys spoke?
Probably October, November.
All I can think of, Nicole, and tell me if this is different than where you're going to go. The only big picture idea I can think of is something I wish we lived in a world where you, a capable trainer, could just do your job and I could just get those sessions and we could leave politics out of it. But that's not funny.
No. I'm like super into whatever that word is for when you rehabilitate people. I think it's rehabilitation.
Oh, that sounds right. That sounds right to me.
Okay. Hey, man.
Cool. Off to a good start.
Haven't heard from you since November. I'm worried that in our initial correspondence, I was clear about my displeasure, but not my concern. In the immediate moment, it was vital that I sever our interactions.
Oh my God. I hate what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. But taking a longer view, I realized I had a duty of care.
Oh my God.
That I did not deliver on.
Nicole is making flourishing motions with her hands as she whips this email out.
Nicole, can I on which I did not
yes,
deliver.
Yes, excellent. Upon which I did
yeah,
not deliver.
Yeah, the pretense needs, is going to have to be toned up.
I love it. I mean, here's the thing. Again, in the same way that I believe in rehabilitation, I'm also a descriptivist when it comes to how we use language and grammar, but that's fine. Don't end it a preposition.
Okay.
Alden said something at the beginning, which I kind of want to just throw in now to start the second paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yes. Cool. It's no secret that in the year 2018, we all exist in ideological bubbles. It's something with which we all struggle.
With which?
It's something which we all struggle.
Two witches.
One is
W-I-T-C-H.
Yes.
Yep. Same page.
Great.
But when it comes to your bubble, there is a clear and present danger.
Clear, capitalized like the movie title, please.
Right. Yep. Clear and present danger.
And then parentheses, Harrison Ford. Tom Clancy.
Clear and present would have been about 1997, would you say? 1994.
Can you do 1994/1997?
Great, yep. I'm going to italicize clear and present danger. Mm-hmm. 1994 to 1997.
That's great. Yes. That's great.
It's a three-year release window.
If we do not extricate you from that bubble.
Oh, wow. So I'm going to cleanse him.
Yes.
Extricate --nay cleanse.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, it's a bubble, so it's already sort of like what is it could be a scrubbing bubble.
Yeah.
Put that in there.
Mm-hmm. And then in parentheses, could be a scrubbing bubble. In conclusion, sending you good vibes.
Great.
And hoping you chill the fuck out and expand your horizons to include the recognition that other people are people. Because that's really what it comes down to, right? That's that whole point of view. It's just like you don't see other people as much as you're a people.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. And to be fair, this very last line definitely bears repeating, but it's pretty close to what I said.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So then actually above where you signed your initials.
Yeah.
I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating. And also this email was because I'm concerned again, that I did not initially express my concern.
Way to muddy the waters right at the end.
I think we were really on a high note
clarified.
There, and then we
I thought it clarified. I thought it clarified. Set that aside. We'll be revisiting it later.
Oh, God, dear Christ. Okay.
Oh, Alden, you had some emails come in. What are we looking at?
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Boring. I got a notification from Squarespace that we sold a t-shirt. For the podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm just going to mark these as red. Very important.
Do you not have an official Zix email address? Or does it all forward to you?
I get the PayPal notifications. We do have an email address for the thing, but none of the money comes in. Like, none of the business stuff
comes through.
So I go out of my way, like, in emails and stuff to pretend that there is a team behind, like, emails and packages and stuff. Like, on an email, I'm like, signed the crew, but it's all... Like, I'm the one sending these fucking t-shirts?
Right.
If you're the kind of comedy fan that falls down a YouTube hole watching all the early stuff your favorite comics did, if you know what the word schadenfreude means, if you like hearing dumb stories of performers flopping hard... we've got the podcast for you.
The show is called My Opening Line, and it's all about your favorite comedian sharing the story of their very first time on stage. All the terror, the train wrecks, or, in Adam Conover's case, the tree surgeons. Yep, that's Adam from Adam Ruins Everything, and he talks about his first open mic in New York that circled around a tree surgeon who hated bushes.
Hosts Keith and Chemda ask comedian friends and performers about their first time on stage and poke fun at the terrible, terrible ideas for jokes and bits that even the funniest comedians are guilty of their first time up. You'll hear popular comics set the scene and share all the embarrassing details of the clubs, the audience, or maybe lack of audience, the awful opening lines, the awkward executions, and epic fails.
Trust me, you don't want to miss a single story. Subscribe to My Opening Line on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hey, Alden.
Yeah.
What's in the drafts?
Oh, wow.
Oh, what's in the box?
Oh, boy, big number. Big number.
537.
Yeah, I'm only going to ask if I see a big number.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. These are not, these are so many emails you meant to send groups of people.
Well, here's the other thing with okay. Apple email, uh-huh. with Apple's email program, it puts drafts in there. And then even if you send it, it just stays in there. So
what?
These are not unsent.
I don't think that's true. That's not what's happening to me.
Most of this is about Mission to Zix, to give you an idea of what kind of, how I spend my time these days.
What's the oldest email in your drafts?
Okay, 5/11/15. I will say that I switched over to Google from, I had a Yahoo, and so I don't have any emails from before 2015.
That's wild.
All right, great. It's a YouTube video, online multiplayer.
Click the link.
No idea what this is.
Click the link. Who else is receiving this?
It's like three of my friends who I play video games with sometimes. Oh, it's Ultimate Chicken Horse, which is, this is a really great video game.
Read the title of this.
Super Best Friends Play Ultimate Chicken Horse. I guess Super Best Friends Play is a YouTube channel about people who play, like they record themselves
right.
playing video games. I'm not really into like the Let's Play thing, but that's what it is. This is a video game where Ultimate Chicken Horse, do you know the game Horse?
Yes.
So this is a game called Ultimate Chicken Horse, which is where you build a level for your friends to die in. It's like a platforming, like a Mario. You have to get from point A to point B.
Huh.
But you have to build it in a really difficult way. And then, but you have to beat it. You have to be able to do it. And then if your friends can't do it, you get a letter.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea for a game.
Wait,
and
I thought you didn't want letters in Horse.
Sure, probably,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, so, like, whatever, Nicole, details.
But yeah, so like you have a little level editor and you put these little levels together. And
this
then,
is so cool.
And then you and all your friends try to get through the level without dying. And
everyone's
if you
going at once.
Right, yeah. And if you build the level and you die, then nobody wins. But if you build the level and you win and everybody else dies, then you win.
One shot for all the marbles, or are we trying multiple times?
It's multiple times. Here's the other thing. I kickstarted it, and then none of my friends did. And then I didn't have anybody to play with, so I've actually never played the game, even
no.
though I own it.
So you watch videos to satisfy that.
And also I'm like, okay, here's the thing. I like playing video games. I like playing video games online, but I do not like playing video games online with people I don't know because they are invariably better than I am at everything.
Oh. What platform is this for?
I have it for PlayStation 4.
Cool.
But it's also for Steam, I think. Wow, that was a deep dive.
But let's go. We didn't get to the actual oldest one. That's on the last page. Scroll down to the very bottom of this page.
Oh, shit. You're right. Oh, Dog Buds.
What?
I don't know. The subject is Dog Buds.
Oh, let's check it. Let's.
Oh, this is a casting email. We did a dog food commercial, a directed dog food commercial, and this is our casting recs for people that we wanted to cast. This is kind of funny because we.
But Alden, the middle of this list is you and your best friend in the middle of the list.
Yeah, we try to bury it just a little bit to be like. But you could also
who is
cast
also
us.
On the email. That is, what do you think you're doing when you do that, buddy? What do you think you're doing when you do
we
that?
We would have been very well suited for this commercial.
But he put himself,
that,
he put himself
not,
fourth.
Why not just
fourth
speak
row.
To it?
There's actually a really... It was for copying and pasting into,
okay,
the, into
you.
The
okay,
truth.
Thank you, thank
but
you, thank you. Okay,
the
okay,
the other okay, funny story okay. about this is that the people who actually booked it were Jeremy Bent and...
Josh Sharp.
That's correct. And the funny story about that is that we gave them the treatment. Our whole pitch when we go to direct commercials is, you know, hey, we came up in UCB. We have all these friends in UCB. Like, if you need union people, we got a bunch of union actors. If you need non-union people, we got these up-and-comers who, you know, are really good. And, like, we can cast anything with people that we know. And so we didn't book the job. And then 3 months later, Jeremy and I met at UCB and he was like, hey, I got that job. Thanks. And I was like, that wasn't me. They just stole our casting recs and cast Jeremy and Josh.
That is sad. I think that is
a lot
sad.
Of heartbreak. A lot of heartbreak in a lot these of emails. Heartbreak. Yep. But yeah, that's dog buds.
Do you frequently message with any family members, even on your phone?
Yes. My mom texts me a lot. My dad texts me rarely. My brother texts me sometimes. But my mom is the big texter in my immediate family.
Parental units.
And what kind of stuff is she texting about usually?
Almost exclusively videos of my niece.
Oh.
Who is 4.
I assume that niece is related to the brother.
Yes, my brother's daughter.
But
yes.
He's not sending them.
No, almost never.
Really?
No, I mean, he does, but the amount that, like, a good friend would text you pictures of their kid, like, when something very specific happens.
Right.
But my mom is like, she was close to the phone, so I took a video of her.
I see. And she was close to the phone?
Yeah.
What?
Just like if she's in view, my mom will take a video and send it to me.
I see.
The bar for me receiving a video of my niece is quite low.
I see.
Yeah.
And are you watching all the videos?
I do.
Oh, good.
They're always pretty short. And my niece is very cute.
Dad, you say your dad rarely texts. When he texts, is it like weighty? Is there some
wisdom to it? My dad is, Justin Tyler once told me that he sounds like a person who you would make up if you didn't have a dad and you were in second grade and you wanted to convince your friends that you were cool. My dad, all of these things are absolutely true about my dad. He has a big handlebar mustache. He is a falconer. He is a blacksmith. He is an archaeologist. He lives in a house on a lake in the middle of nowhere in Alaska. He has probably 60 guns. His house is full of animals that he has killed and skinned. But he is not a weird NRA person. He's like a super liberal. He was like a total hippie in the 60s. He has like pictures of him and my mom like in buckskin shirt and pants that he made, buckskin outfits that he made, clothing, as it's also known.
Yeah.
And he is like, he's like literally growing up, we just had hawks in my dad would just have a hawk on his fist for like.
Did he do Renfest stuff or
no,
just?
No. And that's the thing about my dad. There was no pretense. He was just genuinely interested in it. Like there was no performative aspect to it at all. He knows how to make fire with two sticks. He knows how to make fire with a bow. He knows how to make fire with flint and steel. And I also know how to do all those things.
Wow.
I'm also a really good shot with a rifle and a pistol. Like, and I can shoot a bow and arrow. But it's all like Alaska stuff. It's not stuff that I did after I left Alaska.
I didn't know you grew up in Alaska.
I'm from Alaska, yeah.
You're from Alaska.
And so my dad, so take all those things which are absolutely true about my father. And now imagine that you gave him an iPhone, he would be like, what the fuck is this?
Yep.
And so every text is like, hey there. Most of the texts that he is on are, mom brought up the book you and Emily got me. It looks great. My kind of book. Thanks. Ethan helped me with cutting and splitting wood. Mom and Lillian took a walk out on the lake. Went back yesterday, even I.
And it just trails off.
That's it.
And then wait, what was the last one?
You still up? But that's like 2 months later. He texts me sometimes, when he's done for the day. But then of course at that point it's 4 hours time difference.
Right.
So, a lot of the time he'll text me at like 10 o'clock and he'll be like, are you still awake? I'm like, yeah, Dad, I'm still awake.
Wait, so he just asked if you were still up and,
cause he was going to call, up? I think he was going to call me.
Oh,
but
so
he wanted to make
sure
I was
to him on the phone.
Yeah. I talked to him on the phone maybe once every couple of weeks. But we don't have a lot of like, we have so little in common, but I mean, my dad and I are super close. We have a very strong respect for each other that is born out of partially like not really understanding each other.
Right.
But we really, really like each other
a lot. There's an emotional bond there.
There's a whole other story, which we're not reading a lot of emails right now, so I apologize for all these dumb stories. But I actually found out 2 years ago that my dad is not my real father. And I found that out because my cousin told my wife's friend at our wedding.
Okay.
My cousin, my mom's brother's son, told my wife's friend that I was adopted. I'm not adopted, but my father is not my biological dad. They used a sperm donor for a bunch of health-related reasons. And But I didn't know that. They never told me. But it made me realize, like, oh, yeah, well, like, no wonder my dad and I have literally nothing in common. We don't share any DNA. And, like, so because of that, we're like, oh, we're more like really good friends. Like, we're like, hey, you, I don't get it most of the time, but you're great. So that's how our relationship works.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. The thing was, when you used a sperm donor in the 80s, the doctor would tell you, don't tell your kids. They'll be fucked up if you tell them. If they know they're not the real biological kid of the two of you, and then it'll be a problem, which is like armchair child psychology bullshit, which is like, why did doctors think that?
It also doesn't follow through on the logic of like, well, what if at 65 yeah. they find out when somebody needs
that's
a kidney?
That's the other thing. Well, and also it's like, yeah, it's like, oh, you don't have the same blood type as anybody in your family, you idiot. Like, that's the other thing. Like, yeah, why couldn't they think 20 years into the future?
Right? And be like, that's not going to be great,
like,
either.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, when I asked my mom, and she was like, yeah, yeah, we did. We weren't supposed to tell you.
Weren't supposed to, as if anybody but her and your dad is responsible to anybody else for that decision.
And they said, like, look, you know, we wanted to, but it was like, it got harder and harder every year the older you got. Because for the first few years, it was just doctor's orders. And then after that, it was kind of like, do we tell them? When do we tell them? You know, because my brother didn't know either.
Did the cousin have a few drinks and then be like, screw it, I'm just going to go for it?
He was like, we're so proud of Alden. He's been through so much in his life. He was adopted, which none of those things are true.
They're not proud of you.
But it's close enough to the truth that it led to the conversation.
And you suspected?
I did suspect it because my dad and I look the same in a police sketch, but we don't actually look. We have the same height, same weight, same eye color, same hair color, same shoe size, same suit size.
Like casting would
both,
work.
Right.
You both
exactly.
have a falcon on your arm.
We're both falconers. Obviously, we're both avid falconers. That is, we don't actually resemble one another.
Right.
And so for a long time, my parents were very open about like the issues they had conceiving and all that stuff. And so I always thought as a kid, like, well, I'm glad you figured it out. And then like later I was like, well, that's actually probably a lot more nuanced than that. But I never really had the opportunity to kind of confront them about that.
Yes.
So that the thing that my cousin said was kind of the best opportunity to be like, cool. So I'm just going to be like, hey, I've thought about this. I was wondering. And it was like a very quick conversation. They were like, yeah, sorry. But it was like, I think that they, you know, it's like, I think when you're, 70 years old and you've spent 35 years of your life being like, it's fine not to talk about
yes.
it. Then when you're supposed to talk about it, you're like, I don't want to talk about this. I already decided I wasn't going to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, so I'm over it, Alden. Yeah. And why are you still hung up
exactly,
on it?
Exactly. Exactly.
We moved on a while
ago. I've moved on.
Yeah.
Alden, I'm a 70-year-old woman. I don't care anymore.
Right, right. But I mean, they've been very...
Have you seen this
they've
video
been very
of your
good
niece?
About it. Right, yeah. They've been very good about it. They've been very understanding. But it's the kind of thing where it's like, I think about how they, their perspective on it. I'm like, oh, of course, like... You get to the point where you're sort of like, look, this is the decision. I'm going to stick with it. It's fine. But at the same time, I was like, what if I find out that this dude, had a heart attack at 32? And here I am, like, drinking at UCB until 3 in the morning, just being an idiot. The second part of that story is that I actually did meet my biological dad.
Oh, okay.
I found him. I located him on the internet. He's rad. He's fucking rad.
Awesome.
He looks actually pretty similar to my dad, to be honest. And he lives in the Bay Area in San Francisco, and he's just like the most laid back, like, hey man, he's like, I got a bunch of kids probably somewhere. He's just like a really, really nice guy.
Like exactly what you want in the movie.
Yeah, he's exactly what you think a guy who donated sperm between 1978 and 1987 mm-hmm. and lives in Berkeley would be like.
Alden, you have to finish this story if you're going this
far. That's the whole story.
No.
Oh, boy.
So the thing is, nobody kept records of sperm donors before, like, the mid-90s because of the whole, it doesn't matter, your kids are going to be fine. Just tell them you're their parents and they won't care and it'll be fine. Everybody will be happy. So at some point in the 90s, somebody was like, this isn't okay. I'm going to have my own kids. I need to make sure they're not, they're not predisposed to XYZ. So there started to be kind of this backlash where a critical mass of, like, donor babies we're now adults and we're like, fuck this, I have rights. So they started keeping the records of that. And there's a website called the Donor Sibling Registry where you can go and you can say, this was my donor. And even if you can't find him, you can find other people that have the same donor if they had the paperwork. But that only started in like 1994. So I was looking for a long time. I was looking for about a year, and I called all the different sperm banks that would have been open in 1981 when I was 1982 when I was conceived, and couldn't really find anything. A lot of them were private practices. And I kind of hit a dead end. I was like, ah, shit. And then like a year later, so this was like a year ago, a friend of mine was like, you should try 23andMe, which kind of scares me to like give my genetic information to the internet. But like, but I was like, ah.
If anybody has a good reason.
Yeah. I was like, if it helps me connect with somebody else who was, you know, was born around the same time. Like, I was like, how great would it be to find a sibling, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so I did it. And about 2 months later, you get your results back. And when you sign into 23andMe to get your results, it says, hey, do you want to be connected with other people who are users of the site who share genetic material with you? And I, when you do that, it says, just to make sure if this fucks up your family life, if you doing this reveals that your dad cheated on your mom or something like that.
The language on the website is fucks up your family life.
Pretty much, yeah. It's like we're not responsible for any distress this may cause you to find out who your actual family is.
Don't forget other people made these choices, not ancestry.com.
This is not
to click through
like
our fault. Four times. Seriously,
you do have to do
sure?
it like two or three times.
Oh, really?
Times. Yeah, yeah. So I click through it and it's like, here's your dad. Here are two of your half-brothers. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, how accurate is this? I was like, they wouldn't really claim that this guy was my dad if they weren't pretty sure. But right. I was like, what if this guy's like 16 and he just happens to have a lot of genetic, I don't know how genes work. So I was like, I'm not going to reach out to this dude yet. But one of the half-brothers, his full name was on there. So I looked him up just to kind of see what he was up to. Turns out he's a fucking voiceover actor, born and raised in the Bay Area. And he looks fucking like I do. And so... I looked him up on Facebook, and he went to Hamilton College, which is where Justin Tyler went to college. And so I was like, he's probably around the same. Justin Tyler's my comedy partner. So I texted Justin. I was like, you don't happen to know a guy with this name? And he was like, we were best friends in college, and Whoa. We were roommates in New York for 2 years before he moved back to the Bay Area. And so it turns out that this dude was also my best friend for like 6 years.
That is insane.
How insane is that?
That's
so I texted him and I was like, hey man, it seems like 23andMe seems to think we're brothers. So do you happen to know Justin Tyler? And he's like, oh my God, Justin, this is amazing. He's like, I did a cheek swab with this dude who is your father. He's also my father. Like, definitely that's what happened. I did all the research and everything. Like, welcome to the family. It's like, holy shit. So I reached out to this guy who's my biological dad, and he was like, oh, this is great. I was already going out to California for a wedding, so I went and met up with him and also this half-brother, another half-brother. And they're just like nice, cool, smart, interesting people with cool jobs and good lives and good senses of humor. Like, it's just really nice.
It's so crazy how much was set in motion by your cousin having like one extra rum and coke at that wedding.
And also clearly misunderstanding the whole... truth of the situation. Yeah. Like, he was only close enough to set the ball into motion, but nothing else.
Yes, yes.
This guy donated sperm 200 times over the course of 9 years. So statistically, I have 40 or 50 brothers and
really?
Sisters.
Really? That's the success rate?
And if in a sample size of three, if two of them are voiceover actors, then like...
Yeah.
Then, I mean,
they're
statistically, I might have met...
Wow.
You've like cast one of your siblings.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'll be hanging out with Jeremy. I'm like, we're about the same height. Look sort of the same.
Alden, do you ever write reviews for anything ever?
You mean like on
online?
Yelp?
Yeah.
I think I have like probably three Yelp reviews.
I want to see them. How can we find them?
Okay.
What do you want to call this segment, Nicole?
Yelp reviews.
Cool.
Yelp reviews.
Nobody is perfect. Which is a great name for a restaurant.
It is.
Because
I think it's
not actually the saying. The saying is nobody's perfect. It's a contraction. So nobody is perfect.
Where is this? I just passed.
It's in the East
place.
Village. It's like three blocks from the East Village or from the UCB East. So I wrote the first review on Nobody's Perfect. We went there right before a Gentrify that and I saw that there was no reviews.
And you had
It was literally the first day they opened and I was like, I want to help these guys out.
You know what? I got to give you props for that because I've thought so many times, like, I should really write a review for this restaurant, and then I just haven't done it.
So this is a five-star review.
I'm a nice man.
Yes, this is very nice. We were lucky enough to find this place on their first night, and we were really impressed. Very friendly service and excellent food across the board. No exclamation points whatsoever, I should say. This is very, very...
Somber.
Somber. Their signature rotisserie chicken dish is amazing, and as a bonus, is served some of the best fries I've had in a while.
Oh my God, I'm going to this place.
The gluttony and, what word is that?
Flammekuchen, maybe, I don't know.
Pizzas are delicious comfort food and incredible pistachio gelato. That's a sentence fragment. Also, I'll be back, which I guess was an Arnold Schwarzenegger reference.
I actually have not been back, so if that gives you any help.
Okay, so then we got a 5-star review, a 5-star review. I got to check out this 4-star review.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's too long. It's oh, my God.
Wait, hold on. Come on, stop.
Holy shit. Why
is this
so long? It goes
onto multiple screens.
Honestly, I do not remember that place or why I wrote that.
Shrimp shumai and salt pepper teriyaki chicken wings were great. I also ordered a yellowtail roll from the small but decent roll menu, which was good. It was served a little colder than I prefer, but it wasn't so cold that I felt like I was missing any flavors.
Jesus
Others
Christ.
At the table ordered a bunch of stuff that I got a bite or two of. The soba noodles, crunchy spicy tuna roll, and the metropolitan roll. All delicious. One of the kids I was there with, I just want to make it clear to people, we've got 4 paragraphs left and I started in the middle of this review. One of the kids I was there with ordered the eel sushi, and after eating it, said that it was some of the best eel he'd had in years, which, of course, I had to verify. Alden.
This is tremendous.
Can you just tell me the date on that review? I think it is like, I want to say, I'm going to guess that that review is from 2007.
January 21st, 2009.
Oh, wow. Yikes.
Close, though.
Still, 9 years ago.
New Year's resolution, maybe write more thorough reviews.
I will say that I think that when Yelp launched, it was sort of a place where you were expected to write like a full review. That might be completely wrong. But I like...
that's what this is. This like might as well be a New York Times
can
review.
Can we seriously...
I mean, it's certainly not written like one.
We need to do something here, and it's going to take us 2 minutes to do it. We have to do it. We need to cut and paste that text into a document and see how many words that is.
Yes. Oh, no. Okay, that's fair. I also do want to say... 7 people found it useful.
Okay, great. See, thank you.
3 people found it cool.
Cool, great. Yep.
Cool.
0 people found it funny.
Okay, yep. That could really apply to my entire life.
Oh, I
think.
Stop.
No, seriously. I think that really sums up Alden Ford.
Let's pull that.
7 people found you useful. 3 people found you cool. 0 people found you funny.
Copy that into a doc. Let's
I want the
get
word
that
count.
Word count.
Another huge ass review.
Alden, when is that from?
That's from, I mean, this is slightly shorter. 09.
I want the long one.
09. All of them from 09. I had a little jag.
Oh my God, I love this so
Yelp
much.
Yelp jag. I will say this about Yelp reviews. First of all, they're all garbage and I mm-hmm. hate them all and they're stupid. Mm-hmm. But I think that I think if anything, that was a reaction to when people are like, didn't like it. 2 stars.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I talk a lot, so maybe that's part of it.
Really strong.
517 words.
Wow.
I have written college essays shorter than this goddamn Yelp review.
Yes, you have. Wow. I know that for sure.
A full single-spaced page.
Walden, it's so incredible. Oh, Alden, it's time for chickens to come home to whatever.
Cool. Okay, great.
Let's log in.
Okay, here we go.
And let's give us a quick review of that email.
Okay, you want me to read the whole thing?
Yes, we do.
Hey, man. Oh, subject line, expanding perspectives. Hey, man. Haven't heard from you since November. I'm worried that in our initial correspondence, I was clear about my displeasure, but not my concern. In the immediate moment, it was vital that I sever our interactions, but taking a longer view, I realized I had a duty of care upon which I did not deliver.
This is incoherent, and I really thought
cool,
I was in
cool,
a zone.
Cool. It's no secret that in the year 2018, we all exist in ideological bubbles. It's something with which we all struggle. But when it comes to your bubble, there is a clear and present danger, 1994, if we do not extricate, nay, cleanse you from that bubble. Could be a scrubbing bubble. In conclusion,
that's my favorite line.
Sending you good vibes and hoping you chill the fuck out and expand your horizons to include the recognition that other people are people. I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating. And also, this email was because I'm concerned again that I did not initially express my concern.
I have one essential edit. We need to put in the words, nobody is perfect in there.
Oh,
somewhere.
Right. It's something with which we all struggle. Nobody
is perfect.
Is perfect.
And capitalize the is. Is that the restaurant capitalized? Yeah.
And then can you include the address?
Nobody's perfect. Yeah. A French American East Village eatery. If I send this, the police will show up at my house.
Well,
probably.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Rachel is going to fire a question at us through the internet to Nicole's phone, right? She
yes.
beamed it?
Yes, it's beamed.
It's been beamed, and Nicole is going to read it.
Subject line, quizzy quiz.
Great.
Okay, quizzy quiz. That could be a clue.
Shit.
The good news for you is you get three chances to not have to send this.
I have three chances?
Yes. That's the good news.
Okay.
The other good news is Nicole and I don't know the answer. We're going to try to help you. The bad news is we're not very good at helping.
I've never been more nervous in my life. And I met my biological father at 34. So
in 1998, the first Google Doodle was created 2 weeks before it officially launched as a company. What was it? A. Google O's as the five rings to commemorate the Olympic Games. B. Google covered in cats as a memorial for the technician's deceased cat. C. A chalkboard to show the techs were busy with finals week. D. A stick figure effigy because the techs were going away to Burning Man.
Oh, wow. So the doodle, of course, is the thing that we see when we go to the Google landing page, right?
Right. 1998.
That wasn't... Yeah.
Even though Google, as a company, had not launched at that point.
Yes.
If it had already launched, I would have said definitely Olympics.
So that would have been.
But who the fuck?
Winter Olympics, 98, Nagano, Japan.
Nagano, Japan.
We're talking like February-ish, but we don't know when the company launched. That would be useful.
So Matt is a real Olympics geek, so he knows when the Nagano Olympics were.
Gotcha.
But he's saying, let's say Google launched in the middle of July.
Right. Wouldn't be Nagano.
I see. That would rule it out almost immediately.
Okay. When is Burning Man?
Burning Man is...
Summer?
Somebody once told me that. I think it is...
It's a summer, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's in the fall.
Okay.
I don't know. The thing is that I think Burning Man is once a year, and then I see pictures of people going to Burning Man all the time.
Interesting. Maybe, well, they're always
I have like two or three friends on Instagram who go to Burning Man, and I'm always like, again? Already? What the fuck? But so I can't remember. I am going to say chalkboard. Finals.
C. Chalkboard. Final answer. Tell Rachel.
Rachel, is it C? It's not C.
Okay, so... Two more chances.
That was a good guess, Alden. I would have said
Wait,
that.
Wait, I have to get one of... I only have to get one of the three correct?
You only have to get the right answer.
Before only
the right answer remains.
Oh.
You understand?
Oh, okay. There's only one question.
There's only one question. Yeah. This is the only question.
God damn it.
You have to stare this one
really
down.
I was really pretty sure about that.
All right.
I'm going to talk you through this. I'm going to assume that Google Doodle was coined... It was a phrase coined because it was initially, in its first iteration, a doodle.
I like that.
I think the O's are not something that people would go out of their way, unless the Google techs were specifically like huge Olympics nuts.
Yep.
Putting rings into your logo is something you do when you care about optics. And if your website hasn't launched yet, you're not going to do that.
Wow.
I'm going to say cats. No, shit. Fuck.
Okay.
Ugh.
Oh, boy. All right.
Oh, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Olympics and Burning Man.
Wow. The two biggest events of any calendar year.
I have to assume it's the Olympics. It can't be Burning Man.
Couldn't it be like wooden stick figures, a doodle? Can't you picture it?
That's definitely the doodle. If I was correct about my initial assumption that it is a doodle, in fact, then a doodle of an effigy is definitely...
Nicole, where are you with this one? Close your eyes, Nicole, and then open them and say something.
Burning Man.
Oh, wow. Shit.
What?
Well, you know, I was going to say first idea, best idea. My initial thought was, oh, it's got to be Olympics. And then I was like, no, but they hadn't launched yet.
God, this is scary.
But this is also very calculated on your behalf, Alden, that Olympic love is only a reflection of capitalist messaging.
Well, at this point, I do have to say, I feel like if we sway you to Burning Man, we're going to be talking you out of what you want to do. You know what I mean?
The other thing that I have to consider is like, who the fuck was the tech at Google in 1998? Was he a Burning Man type? Or was he the kind of guy who'd be like, fuck yeah, Olympics. Nagano, baby. I do think that the Olympics were hot in 1998.
Great.
I hate you guys. This is the worst. Although, you know what? If I'm going to send this email... This email exists right between the Olympics and Burning Man. Yeah, honestly,
it does. Yes, it does.
So really, I can't go wrong. Wow. I'm going to say Olympics.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
I tried to help you, buddy.
Did you know?
No.
No, we don't know. We don't
know. But I closed my eyes and I went to the 1998 and it was Burning Man.
Burning Man fucks me again.
Dude, you walked right the fuck through it. Like, who was working at Google in 1998? Somebody who loves the Olympics or somebody who loves Burning
Gross
Man?
Gross hippies, yes. Obviously.
The clincher was the two O's, though. That's what landed you on the Olympics. You couldn't get off of it.
Well, the thing is, they do that all the time now.
Yeah.
They do every Olympics. They have a different one every fucking day.
That question was straight up diabolical.
It was incredible, Rachel. It was really incredible.
Do I send this now?
Yes, you do.
Oh, man. There it goes.
What is my game plan now? Do I have to be like, I talked about you publicly, and this is what happened.
I would say that's the worst thing you could do.
Yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I'd be like, sorry, bro. I did shrooms. I don't know what to say. That is an email I would write.
I think sorry, bro, I did shrooms is actually a great tactic.
That's actually not really that good. Bad. And it's kind of Burning Man-ish, too, so that's good.
Guys, you have broken me, I think. I think that's what happened today.
Oh, my God. It was not my intent to ruin you. I got to be honest.
Guys, I think, you know, there's a... This experience, I came, I bared my soul to you. I told you a very serious story about a ruined professional relationship. I told you about my family woes. And you made me read a 500-word Yelp review and send that email into the world.
We did not make you read a 500-word Yelp review. We read excerpts.
Yeah,
you're right.
Excerpts.
I did write it, though. Oh, my God, what a monster I've become. What a monster I always was.
Yeah. Hey, Alden, what do you got going on? If people want to find you, where can they find you?
Well, the podcast that I do with five other terrific improvisers and one incredible sound designer is called Mission to Zix, and it's going to be coming out. Our season two is starting on May 30th, and it will go all summer. So that's really fun. We just started recording, and that's really great. I also have a show every Friday night close after your show at UCB East called Gentrify. It's a stand-up and variety comedy show that we host and we improvise at. And other than that, I'll probably be writing Yelp reviews.
Yep, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, follow on Yelp.
And explaining this email that I just wrote to my ex-personal trainer.
And reforming personal trainer.
Yeah.
And a reminder, if you like this show, please rate and review it. And if you want to reach us, you can get us at inboxthepodcast@gmail.com.
I've been thinking about getting a TV in the bedroom, though, because we're watching...
Don't.
Really?
Do it.
We're watching Mad About You, and I love...
That's it. Aren't they, like, lying in bed, that whole TV show?
Yeah.
Do you know how happy Paul Reiser would be to hear that he just made you go out and buy, like, a $1,000 TV you could bring the experience of Mad About You into your bedroom?
I love falling asleep to it at the end of the night, and then you have to get up off the couch, and it's awful.
Sure.
Yeah, Nicole, I think it's fine.